It's really good to see you guys. It's really good to be in church on a Wednesday night with you guys. It's been a crazy, stressful 2 weeks. I was telling Pastor Tamara the other day, I was kind of venting to her, and I was like, hey, I'm venting to you as my pastor and my doctor and my friend. And we're just laughing. But God has been stretching me, and it's a good thing, because I realized that I could do so much more in a day than I really thought I could. Amen? So I was just chilling at work today, and this is not part of the message, but I wrote some stuff down that I wanted to share with you guys. And it's just to prevent you guys from doing the same mistakes that I did. And that's like I think a good friend does that, you know? If you need friends in your life that are going to tell you what they did wrong, so you won't you won't make the same mistakes. But before I start, we're just going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for every young person in this room, Lord, that what I speak is not my ideas, not my thoughts, but it's your Holy Spirit just speaking to us. Father, I'm not here to preach. I'm here to just speak my heart and to just encourage and that you bring conviction, Lord, and that we change from the things that are holding us back from you. I just thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. I pray that as we listen and as we receive the word of God tonight, that we're not prideful to say, well, I don't need to hear that, or that's not for me, but that we're just humble and receive what you have for us. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is just some free nuggets, all right? For a long time, I tried to make everyone happy, and I realized that you can't make everyone happy. So just listen. Especially at a young age, especially like right now, you high schoolers, you guys are trying to fit in, and you guys will do things or make decisions not because you want to make them, but because you want to please others. So listen, the only person you have to please is God. Amen. So people will never be happy. They're never going to be happy. If you're single, they're going to ask you, when are you going to get a girlfriend? When are you going to get a boyfriend? So a lot of times you get into relationships because you feel the pressure. Oh, my buddies have girlfriends, or my girlfriends have boyfriends, and I have to get one too. Trust me, you're never going to make them happy. Once you get a boyfriend or girlfriend, they're going to ask you, when are you going to get engaged? When are you going to get married? You get married, when are you going to have kids? There's always pressure. When are you going to have your second kid? You know what I mean? Yeah. They're never going to be happy, right? Yeah. How many kids are you going to have? So a lot of times people make decisions just because people bring pressure, amen? Listen, and this happens in our personal lives, our family, in our church, you know what I mean? So we just have to remind each other. So people, I wrote, look, find friends who are going to keep you accountable, amen? And well, a lot of you guys know this, but this is for somebody tonight. I don't know who it's for. And they were going to help you reach the calling, and they're going to help you reach your calling. They're not going to help you miss it. Amen. And I learned this from somebody else, but it really spoke to me. The friends, the people in your life, are people that you could learn from. So if you write it down, learn from, laugh with them, and lean with them. Amen? We always talk about change your friends or change your friends, right? I don't know who this is for, but some of you tonight, you have to start to block and delete some people off your lives. Like I'm telling you, like God was speaking that to me today. I'm not preaching it. I'm just sharing what God, the Holy Spirit, put in my heart today. Amen? It will clear your mind to do ministry, and it's going to allow you to pay attention. Like, you're not going to have to be distracted and, oh, how can I please my friends? You'll miss it, trust me, you'll miss it. And God doesn't want you to miss it. He wants you to be fruitful, amen? A lot. See, this world, what they'll do is sometimes we separate the, what was it? Learn from them, laugh with them, and lean with them. This world will want you to separate those three things. Like, okay, I have my friends from church that I can lean on. I have Pastor Tamara that I can lean on. And then I have my friends that I can laugh with, that I could go party with over here and have fun at a club. And then I have my friends that I could learn from, my mentors, my teachers from school. But see, like, God will put people in your life. Like, I could do all those three things with Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara. Amen? I could do those same three things with Joel. I could laugh with him, I could lean on him, and I could learn from him. Don't separate them. God is going to bring people in your life that will have all three of those awesome characteristics. Yes, amen? Amen? All right, tell the person next to you, start learning, okay? you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, cool. Hey, tonight's message is called Pay Attention, all right? So everybody say pay attention.
Pay attention.
Tell the person next to you, pay attention.
Pay attention.
Listen, don't be wrapped up in your world that you're missing an opportunity to minister to somebody. Sometimes we're so busy with our own problems that we miss a bunch of, like this guy. This is awesome because this guy that was speaking, he saw a couple that looked weird, right? But he didn't miss the opportunity to minister to them. He was focused. He was engaged. He was aware of his surroundings. Amen. We're going to read this awesome passage. I've read the story a long time ago, and then I was reading in Acts. So we're just going to read it. Amen. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 14, verse 1, and we're going to read a lot, but you guys are going to learn an awesome story today. Amen. Have you read this before? Don't say, oh, I already read this story, Isaac. It's boring. Don't be salty, okay? Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. This is Paul, and this is, who's the other guy? Well, we'll find out who he is, right? And so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believe. So these two guys, these disciples of God, are just hanging out. They go to Iconium and they start to preach. And a bunch of Jews and Gentiles believe. So check this out. But the unbelieving Jews, everybody say unbelieving Jews, stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. There's people that are trying to poison the gospel. They're trying to poison the word of God. Amen. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Listen, they were aware of their surroundings. They knew, hey, these snakes over here are poisoning the people that we're trying to feed, that we're trying to teach, that we're trying to convert to Christianity. So therefore, they stayed there a long time. Speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders. Everybody say signs and wonders. To be done not by God, but by their hands. I mean, God is moving through them. Amen? Stay there on three, please. So he was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Okay, I'm sorry. Go to four. But the multitude of the city was divided. Everybody say divided. Part sided with the Jews and part sided with the apostles. It's getting crazy. There's a beef going on here, okay? And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with the rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it, and they fled to Lystra and to Derbe, cities in Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. So they're like, dude, they're going to stone us. Let's get out of here. But they were there a long time already. They didn't just stay for a little bit, and then they were there for a long time. And they were preaching the gospel there. Now check this out. This is awesome. This is our meats and potatoes right here, okay? And in Lystra, a certain man, everybody say a certain man, without strength in his feet, was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Imagine being born crippled and you can't walk. See, there's things that you could hide. You could hide sadness. You could hide being angry. You could hide being upset. You could hide being depressed. But when there's a physical infirmity, you can't hide it. People see you. People judge you. You guys remember when there was that blind guy and then they were like, who sinned, the dad or the mom? Remember that? People always try to judge and try to put poison in people's brains. This guy's crippled. And so look, this man heard Paul speaking. He heard Paul speaking. Now this is where we're going to chill here for a little bit. Paul, observing him intently. Everybody say observing him intently. And seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he leaped, stay there, and walked. This is our first point tonight. What's our first point tonight, brother? Observe intently. Paul could have been distracted. He could have been looking at whatever. He was preaching. He was just speaking. He could have been thinking of what he was going to eat after he spoke. But he was checking out the crowd, scanning around. He said he saw this man. I don't know how many people were there, but he saw this man. He said he looked at him. He, go back to the verse 9. He observed him intently and seeing that he had faith. How do you see that? How do you see that somebody has faith? I'm asking. Anybody. How do you see that somebody has faith? Was this guy like, yeah. Yes. Maybe he was trying to get up. What else? They look like Jesus. Yes. They have joy. Look, Paul speaking. Who, Joel, go ahead. That Paul's looking up, yeah? Man was looking at Paul. But look. What is it, brother? Huh? Shayla, what do you think? This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him, the crippled guy, intently, he saw that he had faith. How did Paul see that? Yes. The Holy Spirit, guys. He's our helper. He's our helper, right? He was paying attention. He was paying attention to see. He was just being led by the Holy Spirit. He saw not with his natural eyes, but with his spiritual eyes. He was walking in the supernatural, not in the natural. So listen, guys, we have to do the same thing. This guy, pastor or speaker who was speaking earlier, when he saw these two people, he saw them with intent. Hey, those people are loved by God. He saw them not with his own eyes, but with God's eyes. He was led by the Spirit. He could have been like, man, those people look freaky. They're probably going to kill me. And he couldn't miss an opportunity to minister God to these people. Amen? Let's keep reading. Look, he said with a loud, stand up straight on your feet. Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. How bold was Paul to just call somebody out while he's just speaking, oh, Jesus, you know, he rose from the dead on the third day. Hey, man, stand up and get up. Listen. Thanks. People knew that that guy was crippled. People knew that he hadn't walked all, like, you know, since he's been a baby. He was born like that. Now, check it out. Now, when the people saw that what Paul had done, they raised their voices saying in Lyconian language, I don't know what that language is, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas, they called Zeus. Like the real guy, the guy that throws like lightning bolts from wherever he's not at, right? And Hermes, because he was a, and they called Paul Hermes. Dude, this is like a Disney movie or something, you know what I mean? Like, what's that movie, Tarzan? No, not Tarzan, Hercules. Sorry, I got them. They look alike a little bit. Because he was a chief speaker, so like, dude, this is Hermes and Zeus right here. That's crazy, right? Zeus. Keep going. 13. Then the priests of what? Zeus, right? Whose temple was in the front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. They were like, dude, these guys are little gods right here. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out, check this out. Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who by gone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good. Gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain. Why am I looking at that one when I have this one? Restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So first, they're happy that this guy's healed. And then they're like, dude, don't do that. We're just guys like you guys. We just have God. They started to preach the gospel to them. People got upset. They stoned Paul. They thought he was dead. I don't know how his body looked, how his face looked. He was all mangled, and he just looked. Imagine stoning somebody with big rocks. Think of it. If you wanted to stone and kill somebody, would you pick up a little rock? I'd pick up like a nice rock that I could throw and aim, you know, good. It's too heavy. It won't make it to Ernie. You know what I mean? It's just, hey, I'm just telling you, these guys had the intention to kill Paul. However, when the disciples gathered around him, Paul, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. We're almost done. Two more verses. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, everybody say many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Listen, how many of you guys in this place, including myself, have been through many tribulations? I mean, if we compare our tribulations with what Paul and Barnabas just went through, like, Paul would be like, come on, man, suck it up. I've really been through it. You know what I mean? Seriously, man, there's an awesome scripture where he goes through all the times he was whooped, how many times he was, at sea, almost drowning, almost left for dead right here. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I'm going to go through all 3 points, and we're going to be done. We're just going to pray. As God is looking for people that could be observant of their surroundings to identify what God wants to do in people. Point number 2, easy. Identify the need. Identify need. What did Paul do? Paul was preaching. He looked at this guy, observed him intently, and then he identified the need. This guy needs to be healed. My God could heal this guy. This guy's been crippled all his life. Man, my God could do something right now. And then take us to point number 3. Easy. Act. This is an axe, right? Look at just the name of that book. Acts. The Church of Acts. People that acted. People that saw something and just acted. Acts. Like this, we're going to write this, and this is going to be all the acts that the church did. That's awesome. Can our life be a life of acts? Where we see something or someone and act on it. Identify, not be scared, be bold like Paul was bold. How many times, look at how many people were saved. Look at how many people were ministered to. This guy, if this guy was the only one who received salvation, that would have been an awesome story in itself. This high priest that was spoken to by, what's his name? Just Joe, please. Todd White. I hear like, if Todd White didn't have the boldness to just tell these people what the Holy Spirit said, oh man, I can't tell them that her back is jacked up. That's probably just my head. Oh, I'm going crazy. Has that ever happened to you? Where you God is speaking to you to say something, and you're like, oh, what if I miss it? Well, you miss it. Just say, hey, this is, remember what Landon taught us? Don't put the blame on God. Say, hey, I think this, how do you say it? This is what I think God is saying. And if it's with the word of God and the people say confirms it, then it's going to be a blessing. And if you miss it, you miss it. Amen? I'm not going to say, hey, Brother Daniel, you're going to marry this girl. Her name's going to be Hermes. You know? It doesn't line up. I mean, it doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. Then he's going to be like, oh, God spoke to me one time through Brother Isaac. I haven't found Hermes yet. I'm still looking for her. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that. But listen, guys, really, at school, when you're at school, if you feel the need or the urge to speak to somebody, oh, look at that kid over there by himself. Listen up, guys. That girl, she's sitting over there by herself. Nah, I'm too distracted doing my own thing. I got my friends. Somebody else will talk to her. Somebody else will talk to him. Don't miss it. Come up to that person. Hey, how are you? Can I have lunch with you? They're probably going to think you're weird. But listen, they're going to be like, yeah, sure. Can I pray for you? Is there anything that you need me to pray for? It's as easy as that. You don't know if that person was contemplating on suicide. You don't know any of that stuff. You know what I mean? This guy, his life was changed forever. He walked home that day. That's awesome. Mom, dad, look. They're probably tripping out. Mijo, what happened? This guy was preaching. This guy, Paul, was preaching. And he just kept looking at me. And I was like, why is he looking at me? And he just kept looking at me. And then he was like trying to figure me out or something. And then he just said, stand up. And I stood up. That's crazy. That's awesome. God has called this church to function in signs and wonders. Are we waiting for God to pour out his spirit? And he already did that. He's waiting on us now to act. God's saying tonight, I already did my part. I acted 2,000 years ago. I gave you direct access to my power. I gave you direct access to my presence. I gave you direct access to tap into the supernatural. It's been here. All you got to do is act it out. Act it out. I know sometimes it's like, well, I'm not bold. Start practicing. Do it with your own family, with your cousins, with your aunts. If somebody's not feeling well, just, hey, can I just pray for you? Can I just pray for you? It's as easy as that. The next thing you know, you'll be at the mall, and then you'll feel something like, oh, that, go talk to that person. Go talk to that girl right there. Guys, let me warn you, don't use this as a pickup method, right? Girls, don't use this as a pickup method. That girl, that pretty girl right there, let me go talk to her. I feel like the Lord is saying something. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Hey, let me pray for you, yeah? Oh, God gave you some beautiful eyes, sister. You want to come to my church? I'll take you. I'll pick you up. I'll do that. She's my wife, guys, all right? Did you guys learn something tonight? Yeah. Listen, real practical, real simple, but listen, we want our church to be a church of acts. We're called to be that church. I don't know if Pastor Tamara could play it for us one day, but remember that prophecy that you have from like a long time ago? Huh? Leslie Kegel, that they were going to be lined up out here. Remember that? And there was going to be the news media was going to be here tripping out what was happening in this place. Yeah. Everybody give it up for Pastor Tamra.
I'm done already, so you can finish.
Okay, this is cool. It's right in line with what you're doing. And it actually says that same thing. So who went with me to the pastor's breakfast? Okay, my mind is really jumbled. What day was that? A week ago? Saturday? Last Saturday? Okay, so last Saturday, they had a pastor's breakfast for the pastors in Pico Rivera. And that's unusual. They don't do that. Actually, I remember many years ago, like 16 years ago, they had one. That was the day that I had the testimony when I was eating and the Lord said, ask the guy next to you if he'd like to give some finances to help you guys buy chairs, because we had pews. So it was way early on. It was like our second year here, I think. And that was at a pastor's breakfast that they were having. The city was having that for the pastors. So that was like 17, 18 years ago. And then just last Saturday, all of a sudden, they have a pastor's breakfast again. So that pastor's breakfast that we went to 17, 18 years ago, so all those years, nothing. And what was happening in our city was a lot of persecution, really, towards the church and just the things of God. Different people were getting in position in our city. They were taking the Bible out of all the council meetings. They didn't want the Bible in the council meetings. Just a lot of stuff was going on. And we ended up kind of in the middle of that, based on some things that was happening from some of the city officials to us as a church. And so that was all going on. And then a lot of Holy Spirit stuff. You know, God does stuff. I was saying, man, when the godly are in power, you know what? The church, it says the people will rejoice. But when the unrighteous are in power, God's people will suffer. And so we were like, man, I kept on saying, we need people in the city to run for city council. We need godly people. We need da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So this whole thing happened where next thing you know, one of our members, based on what I was saying, was down trying to pick up papers to be part of city council. And she was in line trying to get some papers. And when she got to the front, they were totally hassling her. They wouldn't give her the dang papers, which this is kind of illegal. This is not cool. So they were giving her a big hassle, and there was a guy standing in line, and when she was walking out, he said, hey, did they give you the whole packet? And she's like, I don't even know. And so he started kind of looking through what they had handed her, and then she saw his jacket, and his jacket had an emblem on it, and she said, hey, my pastor wants to talk to you, because I had told her just a couple days before I was down at Lowe's, and I had overheard some people talking up at the register. This was crazy how this was all happening. I overheard some people talking at the register, and they said, yeah, well, the guy who owns the Wiener Schnitzel is really being persecuted by the city, and he's gonna this, and they're harassing him for his sign, and I heard all this jazz. And so when I was talking to the lady from our church, are you all following me or is this too crazy? So when I'm talking to the lady from our church, I said, oh, I heard that they're doing this too to this guy who owns the Wiener Schnitzel and blah, blah, blah. So now she's down there. She's trying to get the packet. She looks up and she sees the Wiener Schnitzel emblem. She's like, hey, my pastor's looking for you. Because I said, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to see what he's saying. So anyway, next thing you know, that guy comes to our house. Paul, were you there that night? That guy comes to our house, and he was cool because he was like a walking encyclopedia about Pico Rivera. I never learned so much about Pico Rivera in my life. This guy was like Mr. Pico Rivera. He knew all this stuff. I was like, wow, it's fascinating. It's like trivia time. So we're sitting there minding our own business. Next thing you know, what happened, Pastor Paul? Do you remember? I start prophesying over this guy. It's just like awesome, ba-room. And here it goes. And here's what I said in the prophecy. You're not only going to win, but you're going to win by a landslide. Now, the only reason he was running is because he was kind of being harassed. He's like, I'm tired of this injustice. You know what I mean? I'm going to run. I'm going to straighten things out in this city. Because as a business owner, he was just getting jacked with. And so, sure enough, he wins. He wins by a landslide. So that was our introduction to this gentleman who was on the city council for a while. Well, through him, all of a sudden we got a phone call one day. And he said, I want you to meet this new guy coming on. He's also friendly to the people of God, the things of God. And he's going to be running, and I want you guys to meet this guy. I said, okay. So that ended up being Bob Archuleta. Y'all know who he is, right? So this prophecy that I'm about to, same thing happened. So the next thing you know, Bob Archuleta comes to our church one day. But he's the new kid on the block. Like, he wasn't like Bob, like we know Bob. Oh, Bob, you know, all over Pico Rivera. No. He wasn't part of city council. He hadn't won city council yet. He was just the new kid on the block. And he came here to meet us at a Sunday service. What happened, Pastor Paul? Next thing you know, I'm prophesying over this guy. So, that was... How long ago? That was like 17 years ago or something like that. Long time ago. 15 years ago, whatever. Way back. Actually, I've got the date here for when that happened with him. So now we're at the pastor's breakfast last Saturday. We're kind of minding our own business. I'm like, you know, you're busy. So I'm thinking, wow, this is really nice. This is really honoring. But it was kind of hard to like squeeze it in amongst everything else, right? So I was... honestly, just trying to sit there and just, you know, wow, this is cool that they're honoring the pastors. This is nice, you know. And I'm just thinking, wow, we've kind of come a long way from what's been happening in our city. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, don't you remember when he came to your church? The prophecy. And I said, oh, my goodness. Someone had said something in the opening. I wish I could, when I hear the prophecy, it'll trigger what it was. And then that's when the Holy Spirit said, remember? Don't you remember when he came to the church? I'm like, oh my goodness. I tapped Pastor Drew and I said, hey, you remember when he came to the church? Remember I prophesied over him? And he said, yeah. I said, I wonder what I said. You know what I mean? Because it was a while ago. You know what I mean? I said, I wonder what I said. I wonder what's in that prophecy. Because here's what's happening now. It's kind of a trip. Because all of a sudden, the reason why we're there is because our mayor, Bob Archuleta, is like, rah, rah, the churches, rah, rah, the churches in Pico Rivera. I mean, all of a sudden, there is this fire that started. Y'all remember when it started, right? Day before Easter, remember that? And when we were in the park on Easter, here's what happened. We're in the park on Easter. How many of you went to the Easter park event? Okay, so this was bomb. How many of you have seen The Harbinger? Okay, so let me catch you up. So here's what happened. You know what? We thought it was going to be like this huge outpouring of people. We're going to reach all these people. You know, we knew God had told us to be there. I don't know about you, but I was a little bit disappointed after the park event because I'm like, where were all the people? I mean, we had a good time. We were worshiping. We were having a good time. But that was a lot of work for us to worship. We could have done that right here. So I was like, what the heck? Until the mayor was going from park to park to park, visiting each one of the parks because the parks had all different churches in them. Remember that? When he came to our park, he got up to speak, and he began to pray over our city. And immediately... the Holy Spirit said, that's why you're here. Now, here's what he did. And Isaac, I just texted you a couple minutes ago, as a matter of fact. And I said, I need that tape from your cousin. Because your cousin was there and he was recording everything. And I did not get the mayor's prayer. But here's the mayor. On Easter, day before Easter last year, he said, he held his hand, he was all touched. You know what, by seeing Jesus go through the streets with this cross at one of the previous parks, and he said, God, come into our city. And the Holy Spirit said, that's why you're here. And I was like, oh my goodness, the harbinger. You know what? It is critical that the head of the city, this city, kicked God out. And we need the highest in the land in this city to call God back. And that's what happened day before Easter. This is huge to what God has planned for us as a church body. Do you understand? What Isaac just said is that, you know, God wants us to, you know, walk in the miraculous signs and wonders. He's referring, remember, what was the prophecy about this and that? I'll tell you what it was. You know what? I know what it was. We've been contending for this for many years. And the mayor called God into our city day before Easter. Now, I'm sitting there at the breakfast last Saturday, and the Holy Spirit says, remember you prophesied over him? I told Pastor Drew, I wonder what I said. I wonder what's in that prophecy. Because now, last year it happened, and the harbinger, and I know all this stuff, and it's like, I wonder what's going on here. And now it's making a lot of sense to me that the mayor is Mr. Rah, 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 rah. I mean, just kind of out of nowhere. So I text Pastor V, PastorV'sBomb.com, and I said, hey, do you have that prophecy from Bob Archuleta, you know, back in the day when he was at our church? And what date was it? Tell me what date it was and tell me blah, blah, blah. And so if you can find it, send it to me as fast as possible. This is timely. And so she sends me the prophecy as I'm sitting there at the breakfast. Megan that morning had, we were rushing to get out the door, and Megan's in the kitchen. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, get in the car. She's digging through one of the drawers, and then she pulls a little pair of earbuds. And I'm like, I was almost told her, put them back, but I thought, whatever. So she got these earbuds, and she's like, I got them. Okay, get in the car, get in the car. So now I'm sitting there. Prophecy just came through from Pastor V. I mean, the whole service is going on, but the Holy Spirit's talking to me, and something's going on here, too. And I'm like, Megan, where are those earbuds? So I get the earbuds for Megan. I pop it in my phone. I'm listening in one ear. You know what? What I said to Bob Archuleta, what happened back in the day. And then the service is going on. So then the Holy Spirit says, so Pastor Drew was speaking that day. So he got up there and spoke. And then the Holy Spirit said, go share that. I'm like, I'm not on the agenda. I don't know what to do. This is not hope. It's all scary. It's not hope. And so that was a funny moment for me. I'm looking for the prophecy. I text Pastor V like way too much. So I go up. I gingerly stand and catch Pastor Drew's eye. And he says, oh, I guess my wife has something to share. And then you could tell the people who were like, they were like, say what? And then I asked the guy in charge, I said, I have something, can I share this? And he said, sure, but what's he supposed to say when you ask it in front of 100 people? I don't know, it was weird, sorry, just obeying God. He likes to challenge me. Okay, I'm getting close, guys. So crazy. All right, here it is, right here. This was in the year 2010. And at the beginning of the prophecy, here's what's happening. At the beginning of the prophecy, I'm telling him, I remember that morning, it's like, excuse me, sound people, please get ready, please record this. I just got done telling them to record it. And then the mayor was born and raised Catholic, you know what I mean? He's not like, you know, like us. So I'm explaining to him what I'm about to do, because I know what I'm about to do. So I'm telling him, hey, you know what? I have a word from the Lord, and it's important that when the Lord speaks, you can hear what he's saying. So I was explaining why I'm telling everyone to get this thing recorded, okay? So here it is.
Speaks. We have to put a priority on what he says. Many times in my life, the Lord, I have gotten a prophetic word. And at the time, it was encouraging. and it was a good word. Sometimes I understood all of it. Sometimes I understood parts of it. But I have been blessed in that it's people of God who have understood around me that I've always gotten a copy of that given to me. I will listen to the prophetic word over and over again. And that prophetic word, the Lord is speaking. He is saying something to you. He is equipping you that you will have this. So I say you will need it because the Lord has something to say. We thank you for your service in our community, first of all. The Lord says that you will need courage for what he's doing in the city. We've seen great change in our city, but we have not begun to see the change. He wants you to know that spiritually, what we've been seeing in the natural, he has been doing a preparation from the time that Councilman Belke came in. You know what? Councilman Belke was planted by the Lord for something that he was to begin. You are also part of the Lord's team. He's doing something. Our city will go through changes that will be unbelievable. We will be on every news channel. Pico Rivera will be known far and wide. Not because Pico Rivera is such a great place. It is a great place. We love our city. But Pico Rivera is a place where the Spirit of the Lord will be honored and revered. And because of that, we will see the power and the movement of God in our city that has not been seen any other place. And your job, the Lord is saying, he has planted you for a specific reason. And just like you had just alluded that you were in the military, sometimes the Lord is saying you're in his military. And as you, the same as you would prepare for your life, prepare for your life. Because we are fighting for what the Lord has, a destiny that he has for this city, plans that he has to bring to fruition. And it will take his army, his body, in place with the courage of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord with you. And you must know he's with you and he's with you always. And so fear not. You know what? Be full of courage. Push out fear. And know that if God is for you, who can be against you? And we will see like we have never seen. The presence of the Lord, as this is a place that he has designated that he will visit in a strong and mighty way. And what we need to do as people in this city is keep our hearts right and cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We will cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord says he's planted seeds in you from a young boy, but it is a time to till the seeds and to get closer to him than you've ever got close to him. Because you will need him as you go forth in the battle, that which he has for you. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Mayor, very much. Amen.
Okay. So he says that God has appointed that he that Pico Rivera to be a place that his presence will visit. That was seven years ago. 7 years ago. And I remember, because we had park day right after he was at our church. Remember we used to do lemonade in the parks and all that, the concerts in the park? He had come like the day or two later over at the park or that afternoon at the park, whatever. Anyway, I had given him the copy of the CD. He was like, thank you for that prayer. No one ever gave me a prayer like that before. He was like all happy to have this CD, but it was just kind of strange, you know what I'm saying? I know. But now, as we watch him, see, the Bible's back in the council meetings. He has fought hard, you know what I'm saying, and then all of a sudden, he's pushing, give the churches all the parks, all together, a unity thing, blah, 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 blah. So, and you just don't understand. He's driving the train like a Mack truck, making a big deal out of this. It's got to be annual. We're going to do it every year. I mean, it's just a push, 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 push. But most importantly, as he invited God into our city, and he absolutely has a reverence and an honor for the Lord that he is ushering in, that is critical
to this move of God that we're talking about. So, yeah, that's going to be cool. Prepare yourself. We've been doing this for a long time, Pastor Paul, huh? Waiting for the time of this. When the first year that Pastor, the first week that Pastor Drew and I were pastors here, the Lord said, you know what, that there would be great signs, wonders, and miracles. That we were coming here to create a place where his presence, where he would be Lord of this city. And that is what we are walking into. So you do your part in making sure that you're set apart for the Lord, that you're, you know what, spending time with the Lord, that you're on point just like that, because that's how it's going to happen. Remember, Pastor Paul, the Lord kept saying marketplace ministry. So that's what happened. Todd White just walked into a marketplace, you know what I mean? In other words, a city, you know, somewhere in the city. And that's how it's going to happen for those of us who set ourselves apart and prepare ourselves for that which God has. And it's going to be a ride. It's going to be cool. Amen?
Just close your eyes. We're just going to pray, and we're going to be done. Amen? That's awesome. Everybody give it up for Pastor Tamara, yeah? Just remember, I'm just going to pray what we just read. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. Just like the Church of Acts, Lord, there was unbelievers who were stirring up just community members and poisoning their minds, Lord. But we see that as a church, and we want to be that church that we stay here for a long time, and we've been here for a long time, and that we just speak boldly, Lord. And you will, Lord, not leave us nor forsake us, Lord. There will be you're going to grant signs and wonders to be done by our hands, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for that. I thank you for everybody here. I just pray that they have an awesome week, Lord, that what we hear is not just, we don't do this just for fun. And this is just like, let me just punch in my church time card. But we do this because we love you. And I just thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.